Subscribe to Scratched on Apple Podcasts.
They used to call my dad Wino, and not because he was always faced up, although he really was. But he got that nickname because when he was playing ball as a high schooler, he went sliding into second base with a fifth in his back pocket. Got glass all up in his butt and everything. And from that day forward, he was known as Wino.
Wow. That's a great story, actually.
Yeah, he'll hate that I told that, but...
No, but that's a badass story, though. That's classic. That's a classic freaking story. How old was he? He was a kid.
Yeah, 18, 17, something like that.
Yeah, that's classic stuff right there, dude. Heck yeah. Does he listen? But it's a cool story, though. He slid into home and he had the bottle on his back pocket. I mean, it's a great story. I think it's classic.
Hey everyone, this is Amy, better known as the HR lady from Scratched, also known as Agatha. Ugh, trust me, Ryan is still paying for that one. I want to thank everyone for listening and welcome you to episode 116. Also, this is the first episode to be released on our new flagship host site and partner, Blog Talk Radio. You could still find everything you could possibly want to find on Scratched.net. And as always, you can reach us on Facebook and Twitter. But now you can join the fun at blogtalkradio.com/scratched. So let's jump into episode 116, where it sounds like Rick has already started the party. Eloy! I've told you before, stop lurking. Now go play with Ryan or something. Man, it's like I'm babysitting.
The booze for me started when I was 14, 13 years old, something like that. Sneaking little bits here and there from the bar downstairs, because everybody in the 70s had a bar, you know, and my folks were always upstairs watching TV, and I was always downstairs and little to no supervision. I was like, whatever, let's see what this is all about. And there's this 10-year-old bottle of Jim Beam Red Label, and whop, no, that tastes like crap. But then you get the buzz and you're like, oh, that's kind of neat, you know. Yeah. Off you go from there.
We did the same thing we did it a couple of times, but it was my mixture. Hey guys, let's blend it in the blend. So we took all the ice from the, and to make sure we filled the ice tray before my parents got home and put all the ice back. So there's no confusion. We went to the bar. Right. And I just started pouring all different types of, just enough. And then one of them, I went too crazy and it got like kind of too empty, and I just filled it with water.
Oh, I did that for a long time.
The bottle.
That's why I quit doing the Jim Beam and went straight to vodka and was on vodka for close to 20 years. Because you can just pour water in that, nobody will ever know the difference, you know?
Vodka and Southern Comfort are the two things, if you ever puke them, you don't ever want to drink again.
Oh, dude, Southern Comfort, I don't get it.
But I can't stand the taste of Southern Comfort coming back up.
Ugh. I don't get it, though. It's like candy. I don't get it. I've never understood Southern Comfort. Like, it's just Jim Beam, Jack Daniels. It's
like,
you know,
people
but
that drink Jägermeister. Stuff's disgusting.
The only liquor that's ever, and I think it's a liqueur, pinky in the air as he says that, that's ever gotten me is Ouzo. You want to drink nasty pig vomit. That's that, and, you know, if... if Anarchus is listening, I apologize, because I'm sure that deeply offended your Greek sensibilities. But if you're not, then I'm not, I guess. But whatever. That stuff's nasty, and I don't care. That's pig piss. It's licorice pig piss. Just disgusting. And that don't come out very easy either. Okay. It's weird, because the only recollections that I have, aside from being caught up in stupid stuff at that point, is paying for it the following day, and I remember those clearly, you know, which sucks. That's the part, really. I must have had a good time, because I feel like absolute death, and why am I remembering the feeling like death and not remembering the good time I must have had, you know?
I was in that phase a few years into me and Amy getting married, after we were married, and I can look back at pictures of different things, because I had Facebook already, and look at different pictures and be like, yep, I know what happened the night before that picture, because I'm just like... You know, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah. It's weird because, you know, I'm so far removed from it now, 14, 15 years later. I don't remember if I started using the drugs to counteract the feeling like crap from the night before's drinking, or if I was drinking to get rid of feeling like crap from the day straight of using, you know, the coke and the pot and screwing my system up like that. I don't remember why one followed the other, but all I remember is that's the pattern. Wake up, do a bump, do a bowl, do a bump, do a bowl, go boozing until 3 a.m. in the morning, get up at 6 and start all over again, you know?
You know what you sound like?
What?
You sound like Stevie... Well, it could be go anywhere, but you sound like Stevie Ray Vaughan. Have you ever read his life story?
Yeah.
I read his book, and it's definitely... I enjoyed reading his book. I forget even the name of the damn book, but
I bet Rick knows.
He did that. But what he'd do is,
I'm gonna find out if I remember. Hold on.
And it's a book from the 90s. So I'm sure you'll find it. I'm sure you'll remember it. He used to mix cocaine with Crown Royal, and he'd drink that, and throughout his career, the first half of it, he would do that, and he, dude, you know how he played. He was a badass.
He was incredible.
But he started coughing up blood severely, and he went to the, I mean, it got really bad, and then the doctor said, listen, you're burning a hole through your gut, and you're not going to last. And he actually went to rehab, and he got cleaned up, and he couldn't play. He felt he didn't know how he was going to be able to play guitar without, because he had never played guitar most of his life without being lit up. Mm-hmm. And he was afraid to play because he thought that it was part of him. Mm-hmm. And in a strange way, it's part of the psychology of where he was at when he was, but it's not part of. So he had to break that fear after the fact as well.
Yeah.
It was a great read.
I totally get that, because I didn't think I would have, how do I put this? I didn't think.
And then a helicopter crash killed him.
Oh, yeah.
And then totally. A helicopter crash killed him. So it's like.
To answer your question, I can find two books online, Caught in the Crossfire and Day by Day, Night After Night.
Caught in a Crossfire.
Is that the book you were trying to think of?
What's? I hope it is.
Well, like I say,
because that's
two.
The one I yeah.
And then the other one's Guitar World Presents, but I don't think that's the one. When I was going through all that, I became a specific type of person. And I didn't... God, how do you put this? This is so weird unless somebody has been through this. You don't think that you will be able to do much of anything without it because you've had it for so long. And it's allowed you to either play the guitar really well or be a specific kind of gregarious, fun-loving kind of person. Quite honestly, I'm pretty freaking boring, you know. But the booze and the drugs and everything else allowed me to be more extroverted than I would normally be anyway. And I've had to relearn how to be that kind of person without the booze and without the bumps and without, you know, the stuff that would bring that stuff out of me in the first place. So I totally get where, you know, he wasn't sure he was going to be able to play guitar because I didn't think I would have anybody give two shits about me in the first place if I wasn't hammered. Because that's what people liked. You know, they liked the fact that I could, you tell me to do something, I'd go out and do it no matter how crazy it was, you know. Whereas Stone Cold Sober, I might think twice about that, you know. Turns out it's a conscious decision you make to either let it hang you or lift you up. And in my case, luckily, I found a way to deal with that and be a little bit more outgoing and be a little bit more the person that people liked when I was hammered, you know. Not a belligerent drunk, which I turned out to be most of the time anyway, but you know, now I'm just belligerent. So that's fun.
Scratched. There's a comic book, you know, Ryan hooked me up with this forum or group on Facebook, and there's this comic book that came out, and I don't, you know, it's not like I get my information from whatever I see on Facebook as far as comics and this and that, so it's not like I, you know, go searching for it. Yeah. But there's this cover of the X-Men, and it's X-Men Gold.
Gold?
Yeah, it's X-Men Gold. Hmm. And so I started reading, and like people are like, oh, yeah, that sucks. Oh, the crappiest. I'm tired of hearing about this. And I'm like reading into it, and I actually searched. I started doing the search because it caught my interest, and it just so happens that X-Men Gold came out, a new series, comic book. And this comic book series, it was drawn, the first cover, X-Men 1, by a guy in the Philippines, which happens to be Muslim. And there's...
Yeah, I read that same post.
You heard about it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, okay, cool. So there's... Well, I guess you can finish you got one?
Well, somebody finish, because I'm not cool enough to be invited to the group, so come on, feed me.
So, basically, the long and short of it is that the guy's a Muslim artist, really, you know, an artist, and he added, because I think there's an election going on, and there's some sort of thing in the Philippines or whatnot, and he started writing verses of the Quran, and he started, like, adding stuff, secret messages, like Stanley Kubrick in movies, into that comic, and people started finding out, and they fired his ass because of it being politically charged. Hmm. And so he wrote in the paper, did an interview, and he said, you know, I did what I did, now I've lost my career, but these are innocent verses, you know, some stuff like that. And it's like a big deal. So people are now collecting it because it's now a limited run. Like, literally, it's a limited run officially.
Because the artist got fired.
And they pulled all the books, I think.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the ones that weren't already sold, it's going to be very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no joke. It's like the E.T. game from Atari, right? You guys know that story?
Yeah. I saw the documentary.
Isn't that cool? So
you saw it too?
Oh, yeah.
The documentary?
I didn't know about it until I saw the documentary. I was like, what the hell?
No, me neither.
So 1980-ish, Atari comes out with this E.T. game, and it's the game itself is just absolutely horrible. It didn't sell at all. So they take all the cartridges.
I had it.
Yeah, I did too. It was my sister wanted it. It was... That's the worst game.
I didn't understand it. You could never win.
No.
It was stupid.
Because it was dumb. I mean, there was no point to it. You just walk around, and you're not even really walking around. There's like five maps. It's worse than the Indiana Jones one I was talking about. But anyway, Atari sees that this is going to be just an absolute disaster. So they pull everything back off the shelves, rebuy it from the retailers and everything, and find a dump in the middle of nowhere and dump all these cartridges in. Well, the story gets out 20 years later, and all of a sudden, because you can't find an E.T. game, it becomes this great thing that everybody's got to have, even though the game itself sucks, you know, donkey balls. And they made it was a good enough story to make it an entire documentary about it. And I just couldn't stop watching the documentary. It wasn't that it was that good. It was just like, really? Really? That game, it was terrible. You could make E.T.'s head go up and down, but that was really about it, right, Eli? It was terrible.
It was crappy, dude. It was so crappy, dude. And see, back then, the thing is that in the documentary, they were saying that they were being pressed to, you know, push out games because the competition, it was like a hot market at the time. And it was. Mm-hmm. I remember going into Toys R Us and seeing a wall of games.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Oh,
it was like a wall of games.
You were a mecca.
And you'd just, you'd sit there and you'd see all these cassettes like perched on the wall, one of those, not pegboard, but those strip board, whatever. And it was just sitting there, and there was a freaking, you know, barrier between you and it. And you'd have to ask them to bring down the cartridge and stuff. Dude, it was such a ritual. It was so awesome.
I can only liken it to the first time a video game store opened up here, but getting that same sensation, because here's all these games lined up on the wall, like Eloy's talking about, in racks and racks and racks vertically. And you're just like, wow, this is great. And then there's a glass shelf in front, or a glass case in front of you, and there's games lined up there. And it's, wow, this is awesome, you know. I went back to my childhood with the Atari stuff, you know. And these, most, let's be honest, for their time, they were interesting. But you couldn't play those things today. Are you kidding me? They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. You know, Galaga?
Dude, I hate to say this. I know. I hate to say this, but I can barely, like, I have the emulator for Nintendo NES, and I can barely sit through the, I mean, I can, because there's enjoyable, but, like, for memory sake, but I can barely do them, because it's just, I've been there, done that.
Yep, that's exactly right.
You know?
It is very difficult to go back and play those things. If I had to go back to Pong, I would probably hang myself with this XLR cable cord. Oh my God, so bad. So bad. I went into the archives when I finally got this machine up and running again, thank God, and forgot that I have The Elder Scrolls Online. And I thought, okay, well, I don't remember anything about this. Let's start playing it again. And then I realized instantaneously why I don't want to play this anymore. It's so bad. It's the same thing over and over and over and over. So
is it the same one? Is it Morrowind, the one that you...
I think Morrowind's the latest expansion on the online game. I have the basic, plain vanilla version of Elder Scrolls Online, which is actually... the series is Elder Scrolls, and then Morrowind was, right, like, the second extension in the series, and now it's an expansion pack on the online game, which is confusing as hell anyway. But the series is incredible. This game just sucks. It's so bad, you know.
Skyrim is the best.
Skyrim, and what was the one before it? Now I gotta look it up. That was the one that
Have you played Skyrim, Ryan? No.
My kid,
I'm sorry, not
my oldest boy plays.
I'm sorry, not Ryan.
Oh, Rick number two.
Rick number two. I'm so sorry. Continue.
My oldest boy plays it on Xbox, the Skyrim.
You don't mess with it?
No.
Oh, you should. It's fun. Oh, it's so much fun.
Not really my bag.
My favorite thing.
You don't.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna ask him. So you don't enjoy the D&D adventure medieval Middle Earth type stuff?
Yeah, I just don't enjoy video games that much in general.
Oh, you don't like the video games?
No,
I see.
That
Which is odd for my generation, because that should be like woven into me, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I'm not huge.
You're just not.
I've
there.
I've never been huge into video games, really. I mean, I play them, but I'm not
ever.
No, I do occasionally.
We picked up Oblivion. I was off for a week when I was working for TI Craft, and I picked up Oblivion, which is the first one, the one behind Skyrim.
And I'm sorry. You know what I heard? You picked up a Bolivian.
Oh, I picked up a Bolivian at the Home Depot.
And I said, we're back to the drugs.
He was my camel. No. Oblivion.
Okay, well.
Scratched.
Can you relate? Whenever we get a phone call, we look at it like, oh my God, do we want to answer?
Right.
You know, why don't they just message? Why are they trying to call? Like, people are becoming. Yeah, people are.
Oh yeah, no, I get that all the time. I get these weird telemarketing calls, and I'm like, who the hell's calling me? Somebody dead? Should I answer that? I don't know. Screw it. I'll find out. They'll send me a message if it's important.
That's what I always say. They'll leave a voicemail or I'll get a message if it was important.
Now, for those who aren't familiar, Eloy took a powder this week and had some issues in the home he had to take care of and literally disconnected from the internet for most of the week and left a few of us a little concerned for his welfare. So.
Rick and Rick number two.
Yeah, we thought
and Bales.
Nobody
we
else.
We thought you was a frog.
Bales,
or wait,
what did Bales
say? Toad.
Toad.
I don't know.
Bales got a hold of me on Facebook and says, this was Thursday at 1:51 p.m. my time. You might want to check on Eloy. He's been far too quiet. And I was literally just about to call you and find out because I was heading to lunch at that point.
And I got love from Bales.
Yeah. So there, people noticed, just so you know. You have a lot of apologies to me.
Three. Three human beings. People noticed. Three. Yeah, you're right. Technically, three people. You're people. And by the way, my favorite of people. My favorite
of
people.
Dude, it was all over Fox News and everything. Everybody was wondering where you were.
Yeah. Dude, Bill O'Reilly quit because you weren't on the internet anymore.
That's good.
Sorry, Mr. O'Reilly. I love your work.
Oh, dude. I don't know what to tell you, but Home Talk has blown me
up. I told you. That stuff's good.
Dude. But you couldn't have told me and I couldn't have told you that it would have done. It reached 202.
Yeah.
200. 202,000. I can't even say the number right because I'm not used to.
Inconceivable. Like,
yeah, it does not compute. 202,000, and they're all women.
Whoa.
They're all women.
They like the beard.
Double whammy for you.
And they're like, well, no, they're like in their 50s and 60s.
Oh.
Hey, you're not far off from your 50s.
Hey,
there, buddy.
Shut up. I'm further along.
No. What I'm saying is that or older. What I'm saying is they are in that, they're heading in that direction. Anyway,
don't discriminate.
Cougar. Yeah, don't hate, appreciate.
Cougars are our age, Eli.
No, but listen, but
looking for younger than Ryan.
That should be explicitly written in the so. No, but the thing is,
so,
they actually
so what you're
type...
saying is I'm in that non-wanted age range.
That's right. You aren't.
Yeah, I don't.
You aren't desirable.
I don't want
anymore.
Someone my age. I don't want my.
No way.
I don't want my.
No, good lord.
Jeez,
got four kids.
That's grotty.
Is gone. Oh, sorry, Sherry. Love you. A divorce. God dang it.
But they've been writing and saying, that's such a great idea. Thank you. This and that. Oh, a privacy wall. This and that. Oh, yeah. Blah blah blah. So. It was shocking because it was the week that Jamie Page was here, and then bam, you called me, you texted me and said, "Hey, you might want to check your home talk because it's going crazy." And I was like, still having these guys here and trying to. So then I finally got back to the message and I said, "Oh, let me go check." But my "let me go check" was like this because I'm not used to any brilliant success. So I'm like, "Okay, let me go check." And I went and checked. And I open up the thing. And then I'm like,
what?
Huh? Because I can't register any, there's a threshold of like, this is where it's always been.
Is that a comma?
And deal with it, buddy. Dude. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, dude, I set about and I replied to everyone. Every single one. Because I'm that hungry. I'm that hungry to succeed, right? In the thing and to advance.
Sure.
Like to take it a little bit. So I'm that hungry that I'll sit and reply to everyone, and I did, and then they replied back, and it just became a thing. So it ended up with 202, and then I said, you know what? Because I've heard it before. I have another video of privacy. So I've made like five different. I've got like 18 privacy videos. I'm gonna keep doing privacy videos until they explode. Neighbor privacy. Privacy,
oh, thank God.
Videos.
Well, the visions that were dancing through my head.
We don't want the
point.
Public to see all the privacy videos you've been showing us.
No, I've seen plenty. Thank you. My God, I'm still hearing an echo. Apparently, there is a feline scale since we got on the subject of cougars, and I wanted to clearly define this for everyone.
Dude, you're not going to add this, are you?
Oh, hell yeah. For the pedophiles out there. God hope we don't have any of those. Ages 0 to 12, girls, you were known as a house cat. Mm-hmm. 13 to 17, you've been promoted to bobcat. 18 to 21, which is my stepdaughter, wildcat. I'm going to punch someone if they say that. 22 to 29 is lynx. 30 to 39 is puma. 40 to 49, right, I know, puma. Give me a break. 40 to 49 is officially cougar. So as I say, our age group, minus Ryan, jaguars come in at 50 to 59, panther 60 to 68. Apparently Eloy is attracting the jaguar crew. 69 has its own number, or its own name, and only 69 is pussycat. I'm not going to read into that. 70 to 79, cheetah. 80 to 89, leopard.
Wait. Cheetah?
Going.
Is that followed by Cheetos? The crunchy?
Usually.
Dude,
yeah,
it's horrible.
Down around among the boob flaps, I'm sure. 80 to 89, leopard. 90 to 99 is tiger. And then for those of us lucky to reach that point, 100 or more, you're banging a lion. So get that one under your craw.
And breaking hips in the process.
Oh, I'm certain something's breaking, yes. Probably one's will to live, but yes.
Oh, dude. Those names know, and the imagery. It's so wrong, dude.
Oh, yeah. That might be our opener.
No, dude, don't do that, dude. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, not your story.
Icky.
Meow.
Icky. Icky.
Oh, yeah.
Now one of you just needs to purr into the microphone.
So if you were on an island, and they dropped two, what was it, cougars or pumas? Which is the really beginning of the disaster?
Well, that's the beginning really of the disaster
was Rick, was when Rick said, "Hey, I found this."
You know, having said it now, I'm going to agree with you, right? I am 100% with you on that.
No, you know what? Screw it. I'm not gonna screw around with poor Wilkie here. I'm just gonna lay it on the table.
Do it,
Wilkie. You're on a deserted island. You're lost forever. They drop a puma, a jaguar,
and a lion.
They drop a puma, a jaguar, and no, what was the humpback whale one?
Episode complete.